I'd like to call the meeting to order.
Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Could you please rise and face the flag and follow after me, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
There was no action taken in closed session. Our first item is a presentation, the agriculture van for Marysville High School. Do we have someone here to speak on that?
Hi, I'm Tim Cole with the Rotary Club of Marysville, and it is our pleasure from the Rotary Club as a volunteer organization, a service club organization, to support the vocational ag department with the donation of a new 10-passenger van. So, yeah.
I would just like to thank you. That's very generous. Wonderful.
Yes.
We would love to take a quick field trip.
Yes.
Let's go.
Thank you.
is as good as mine.
Okay, if we could go ahead and resume our meeting now that our field trip is over. Next, we're going to have our student representative, Petra Nabi. Oh, there's a motion. Thank you, Lisa.
Do we have to accept the banner?
Yes. Is there a motion?
A motion to approve that beautiful van.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
That's not the motion. Read the recommendation.
I'm sorry. I'll redirect.
It's to accept the donation and approve the agreement.
Okay. I make a motion to accept and approve the agreement. There's a Rotary Club gift to FFA. That sound proper?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion to accept the donation and approve the agreement from... Okay, and we have it by Mr. Crawford, and then a second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
7 yes. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, now our student representative.
So this is a school report from Marysville Charter. The eighth grade class sold Gatorade to fundraise for their promotion party. Leadership had a Harry Potter movie night on April 26th. MCAA Drama Department just performed Grease the Musical on the outdoor backstage from May 2nd to May 5th. The junior-senior prom was on May 11th at the 530, and the theme was Met Gala, A Night in Hollywood, and the two classes made about $3,000. The MCAA Dance Department will be holding their annual spring dance recital on May 17th at 7 p.m. and May 18th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. in the MHS gym. The theme is To Love and Be Loved. May 20th through 23rd will be MCAA's Spring Music Week at McKinney. Strings, choir, and band will all have their own performances. The SWAT Club will be having their annual end of the school dance on May 24th at 7 p.m. on the outdoor backstage. The theme will be SWAT Cella. The last week of May, leadership will be holding a multicultural week. We will have informational posters, music, and performances. The first week of June, leadership will be holding a positivity week during finals. We will be giving out pencils with encouraging messages, putting messages on students' lockers, and many other positive activities.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the comments from board members. Mr. Davis.
The comment I had was for the listening sessions that we've been conducting for gathering public information and questions from the public. And I just have to say that it has been very enlightening to hear what folks are expecting from the board and for the new superintendent. And we have two more sessions coming up that I'm hoping people can, if they're interested, to make the time for, but so far it's just been very impressive by the folks that have attended and the input they have put in.
Thank you. Ms. Scott. Mr. Allison.
You know, seeing this van out there and thinking about agriculture, I just happened to be reading an article last week from a professor at Davis, and he was talking about how in California, next year, there's going to be 60,000 entry jobs for graduates in agricultural programs that's available that start at over $100,000 a year, okay? And also in the next 10 years, there's going to be over 600,000 farmers that are going to retire. And so just, I will always support agricultural programs and vocational programs. One of my neighbor's kids the other day just graduated from or is about to graduate from a welding program at Yuba College. And he's already been offered a job that pays $50 or $60 an hour. You know, so in vocational programs, I mean, hey, you know, I'm an academician. I don't know, is that, what's that, an idiot that can read? But, you know, this is amazing, and that van is amazing, and I really, I guess the guy from Givikey's gone, but hey, I want to thank Givikey, even though I'll never shop there again. But thank you.
Mr. Boom?
Yeah, once again, thank you to the Marysville Rotary Club. That's awesome for them to have a a van. That's awful nice.
The Rotary Club gave it this.
Yeah, the Rotary Club of Marysville.
Okay.
So, and then a lot of my constituents have been calling me, talking to me at various places about these community meetings. And although they're happy with the community meetings, they don't understand why we don't have more involvement from the community on an interview panel. They want to know why there's not people from the district, why there's not maybe people from, you know, the DLAC people, why there's not people from the district office, why is there not representation from like MUTA and stuff. And I have a call in to Mr. Teagarden. I haven't heard back from him. So Mr. Rasmussen, when I hear back from him, I'll call you to discuss that and see what the thoughts are on it, try and get some of the pros and cons. And then I don't know if the board's interested in it at all, but you know, if that's what I'm hearing from my constituents. So I don't know what the board thinks about that as a whole, but I'll get some more information on it first, and then I'll bring it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Boone. Mr. Fleury.
I have four items. First of all, the education dinner that we went through from Yuba County was amazing. To know that we had recognized six employees from our district. I think it was two from Yuba Gardens, one from Covalade, one from Linda, and from South Lyndhurst. And the South Lyndhurst one is going to be moved on to the state Mary May. And it was just a great dinner. I think there was four board members there. We really enjoyed Amy Knorr, who's an assistant to the county's office, worked very well to help put that together. The price was only $10. The food was delicious. It was just good to recognize and realize what good educators, classified and certificated, we have in this district. Second, CSBA conference is this weekend, and I had planned to go, but because of my good friend and colleague, former colleague and family friend of ours, Marina Rossellini, his funeral's this weekend, and I've notified I'm not going to go, and they're going to send me information back to share with the board. The big concern is they're really a push is the charter schools that are coming in the state. They're really concerned, and that's one of the big issues they're going to be discussing this weekend. Also, the next board meeting, I would like to bring the Echo Challenge from Arboga before, just to talk, tell you a little bit what they've done. They're recognized as the one top one in the state for their what they had got. And also the next board meeting to bring the three recipients, got the one got the ACE award from South Lyndhurst, got the $1,000 representing the state of California. But the two that were runner up, that were one from Lyndhurst and one from South Lyndhurst, their essays were so compelling to the judges in Santa Rosa that they gave money. They've never done that. And I would like them to come in with Mr. Jones and to read their essays, and it's just what we're all about. When you read the hardships these people have overcome, drive-by shootings, and I think you'll be impressed with what they've overcome. And so I'm asking that we put them on the next agenda along with that one. Last is the Edgewater Project. I'm hearing concerns from the community what's going on, and so I would like that we get an ongoing progress from the district where we're at with that project and where we're going to have completion, because I guess there's a lot of things that are going to be involved, and I think the board needs to know just where we're standing, where we're going with that. Thank you. That's my comments.
Thank you. Mr. Crawford.
Just a few quick items. Since we met last April, some really good news. Last Saturday, the Girls on the Run, their second year in existence, had their second annual 5K run at Riverbend School in Yuba City. And it was just amazing how many 9 through 14-year-old girls were participated. I mean, well over 100, and they got to participate with their parents. And it's become quite a family event, and I would really, really like to thank all the people that have helped, volunteered their time, the teachers at Kynock and Covalade and all the schools in Yuba City. It's just so great to see them participate in such a physical activity as that. And I had an interesting call this weekend from a granddaughter of a student I taught at Lyndhurst High School. I picked up the phone and she said, "Is this Frank Crawford who taught at Lyndhurst, the coach?" And I said, "Well, boy, yeah, or maybe." And she said, "Well, you coached my grandma." And I said, "Wow, that makes me feel young." And she goes, "No, my grandma told me to call you, and please, as she said it, give a shout out to the co-ed tennis team from Lyndhurst High School that won a section title from Lyndhurst High School this last week." And she kind of got a little dig in, and she goes, "Coach, did you ever win a section title?" And I said, "No. Thanks for reminding me." That is quite an honor from Lyndhurst High School, for any school to win a section title. And that's co-ed. She also won with her doubles partner, too. So a 5-4 score, which in tennis, I assume, is pretty good. I play tennis about as well as I play golf. And one last thing, speaking of Lyndhurst High School, on a rather tragic note, May 1 has come and gone. For the 27th year, a small group of us, and it is a very small group, that left Marysville High School in 1974 to where we were teaching, to open up the brand new high school, Lyndhurst High School, in 1975. We went out there, and consequently, we don't celebrate, but we always contact each other in the last 27 years, either by writing or telephone, and now it's texting or PMing. But tragically, the group that I'm speaking of has dwindled to one more. The colleague Mr. Fleury was mentioning, he was in C building that day 27 years ago, just like I was. And ironically, we all share in our grief. We always touch bases. It has been 27 years. I know some people don't like to be reminded of it. I'm not sure I do, too, but I still strongly believe that if we're not cognizant of history, it has a tendency to repeat itself. So in memory of them, and especially my great friend, he was my department head in careers and driver ed. He actually talked me into teaching a careers class on my prep many, many years ago. But what he failed to tell me was it was a class of monks from Asia, and none of them spoke English. And I said, "Hey, Rosie, what am I supposed to do?" And he said, "Don't worry, I'll have something before you get an aid, bilingual aid. I'll have something for you." So the next day he came in with three VHS tapes of Super Bowls 1, 2, and 3 from the Super Bowl of 49ers. That was the kind of guy he was, and I definitely will miss him. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. I do have just a couple items. I would like to, music in our schools was last Thursday night at the Lyndhurst High School gym. All of our intermediate and our high school bands performed during that night. Just a wonderful concert. Had a hard time, I was talking to Romero to remember the word. But a couple of thank yous. One, I'd like to thank the board for supporting the music in our schools, and also the district for thinking that that's a valuable asset for our students. Amazing to see 300 kids in that gym all playing music together and having their songs. Also would like to commend all of the band directors that we have at the various sites, being able to put the extra time in that they do. Also, I'd like to commend the administration that had showed and the staff members from their various sites that had come that night. Also, I'd like to thank Mr. Carrion for being there and watching our students, so thank you. Just a little follow-up also with what Mr. Davis was talking about on our superintendent search. So the next meeting is at Annie McKinney on May 20th at 6 o'clock, and then May 21st at Foothill High School or Foothill Intermediate School at 5:30. So want to get that word out. And again, thank you, Dr. Starkey, for getting that message out to all of our parents that we have two more of those events to take a look at. Back in the fall of this year, you might remember that the board had actually met with a CSBA trainer and had a workshop. And at that training, we come up with a few goals that we're going to take a look at for the remainder of the year. And we had some subcommittees formed with regards to those goals that we wanted to take a look at. The first goal was to explore the options and partnerships, funding, and cost with regards to the restoration of the Marysville Auditorium. The second committee that was formed was a safety committee examining safety practices for all facilities, including the district office and the bus garage. And the third one was building strong bonds between community and schools. I would think that most all or all three of those committees have had the opportunity to meet, and maybe if we could give a small presentation during the board comments of how those meetings went or where we're going, just to give everybody an update would be nice. Kind of following up too with Mr. Fleury, I did see when you were talking about the Edgewater project, I did see in the newspaper that it is out to bid again, and the bids are supposed to be opened on May 31st, and to see what contractor that we would maybe go with. What I would be asking the board is for us to be able to have a special board meeting, maybe on that Monday or Tuesday, to come in and be able to approve that contractor so we could be able to move forward with that project. So I'm not sure if we have to wait till the 31st of May to agendize it, or if we can go ahead, because I do think there's maybe a 24-hour period for a special board meeting. But if we could go ahead and get that board meeting somehow scheduled for that Monday, if we think that's going to be appropriate, that the bids would be open on that May 31st, so we can come together just briefly for that item and see if we can move that project along. So,
just a brief comment. I have asked Mr. Hodson during the superintendent's report to give you an update on that project, so you'll know a little more about that and the feasibility, excuse me, of a meeting on the 31st.
Thank you. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
I didn't expect to need to talk about this. Unfortunately, I didn't see this item on the agenda just now, but the dual enrollment agreement. In the event that there are any college professors teaching our students who are getting credit in our district, they are taking a place of one of our members. And it's not necessarily something that would kill that idea, but it is something that we would like to negotiate before you do it. Although I know that you've done it without my knowledge. And I see that it's supposed to come to public hearing. I'm sorry, this microphone's doing something weird.
Yeah, for some reason I'm having a hard time understanding Inga and I, but
maybe without the microphone?
No, just he'll turn it up a little for you. There you go.
Okay. Pointed at those guys. So can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes? You can hear me now?
Much better, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Should I start from the very beginning?
No. Oh, no, I got okay. The other part about the dual enrollment and instructors.
Dual enrollment taking place of teacher FTE positions with college professors. And Mr. Carrion and I have talked about it. I am surprised to see it on your agenda already, right now, without some assurances that we were expecting to get.
Well, Inga, I would just point out, it's only an informational item, so we're...
It is an informational item that then, it's doing feedback. I think it's going to bite me here. But it says to be agendized for public, the recommendation, I think, is to be agendized for public hearing, which we all know how many public people are going to be coming and talking to you. But I will talk to you about it. Not right this minute, because I think I can get some more information myself, but I'm just hoping you'd slow down a little bit, unless there's something I don't know. If there's some kind of assurance that I can be given, then go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting to give it to the, and give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board, bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. We do have two public comment cards. When you come to the podium, if you would please state your name. And also be very mindful of our 3 minute, we have clocks now, so you can keep an eye on the clocks. And I will say at the end of the 3 minutes that we will turn the microphones off and ask you to sit down. So our first public comment, Rebecca Knutson. Hopefully I didn't butcher your name.
Yeah, we say Knutson. Hi, I'm Rebecca Knutson, Ms. K. I'm the librarian at Edgewater Elementary School, and I just wanted to invite you all to come to our Accelerated Reading Awards Assemblies. I made a flyer for you guys so you could see what is happening at the end of the year here. We have a pretty cool reading program that we run through our library. I guess I run it. And I just wanted to tell you guys a little bit about it. On May 29th and 30th, it's gotten so big. We started out with one assembly, and it was way too big. We're like, we can't fit that many people. So we ended up doing two assemblies. And this year, we needed to split it up into a third assembly because it's gotten so big. So you can see the dates on the 29th and the 30th. We also, on the 29th in the morning, we have a little celebration for anyone who earns a gold medal. And last year we had about 92. I think we might pass 200 this year in our gold medals. Our reading program works really great with the teachers. I think reading is just something that's part of school. And it's been really neat to be part of a way to make the kids more excited about it. Some of the kids don't always get as excited about it, but I was one of those kids that really struggled with reading growing up. And I tell the kids that. I read to every class, every day, all week long. Even the sixth graders want to have a story still, which is kind of surprising. They'll come and sit down. And it's become just a really positive thing. And we'd really love for you guys to come out and see it and be part of. There's three assemblies. You can come to all of them or the party. So we have a year-long theme, and this year our theme, if they earn the gold medal, they get to earn a t-shirt. This is the gold medal shirt. It's "My Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades" is our theme this year. They're earning points. We have a lot of things the school helps us with budgeting, making sure we have the books. We have extended hours for me, helping me have a job to keep this going. Our weekly library time, and I stay after school every day for about 40 minutes so parents can bring their kids in and read and do accelerated reading tests with them. Lots of family involvement, lots of having to fundraise to fund this. The t-shirts cost around $1,000 or more each year. The medals cost about $600 or $700, and then we have a little prize store that they can choose from. So just little incentives. I just want to say what I say to the kids every day. Don't give up. Keep trying. You can do it. Believe.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you for the invitation. Our next public comment is Natasha Hodnett.
Can you hear me?
Yes. If you would state your name just to make sure so we have it correctly.
I'm Natasha Hodnett. I am a parent of a lot of students at Edgewater Elementary. I have 7 of my children who have been actively involved in the AR program that Rebecca Knudsen just spoke to you about. My children have had very successful school careers, I believe is because of the benefit of the Edgewater AR reading program that they have. My daughter, my oldest, is in 8th grade now and continues to read and excel in her school work. She's a straight A student, has 100% in all of her classes. My daughter that's in 7th grade also has A pluses in all of her classes, and they read on their own now, which I think is due to the fact that they were instilled a love of reading because of the program that Edgewater has to offer for their students. All of my children have been gold medalists throughout their school career. My husband has been a substitute teacher as well, and I have helped him grade some of his high school students' papers as he did a long-term sub job. And as I was reading these papers, I felt a sorrow for these kids who are in high school who did not have the ability to read and write as well as some of my children have in younger grades because, and I think that's due to these programs that are offered to the students. And so I think that instilling that love of reading at such a young age and setting these goals that they set for these gold medals, I've seen my kids set goals and attain these goals because they've learned that through the benefits of the program that they've been doing at the school. So I just hope that we could continue this program at the school and see it continue to grow as the students learn to set goals for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Dr. Starkey.
As I said earlier, Mr. Hodson is going to give you an update on Edgewater. I know there's been some concerns and some parental concerns, and just wanted you to know where we are in the status of that project. So, Mr. Hodson.
Thank you, Dr. Starkey. So just, it's helpful, I think, to review how we got to where we are. I know this is now an important issue, and we knew that obviously timed for the school year is important. About spring of last year, we started thinking, boy, that would really help, right? It was right about the time we were finishing the bathrooms that we thought this is a spot at which we could put new portables. While at the same time, if you recall, we were doing the bond list, and so we're wrestling with, do you put them there? Do you build full classrooms somewhere else and the like? In about June, July, we decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and do that, mostly to fix the issue with the boundaries. It just seemed patently unfair that you have homes that are within eyesight of the school, and yet they're not in that boundary area. There's about 140 kids as of a mid-January survey that go to Edgewater that aren't charted to Edgewater. We thought we could fix that. But then we also thought, well, the way to fix this best would be to do this with the make them Title V compliant and add restrooms. And that adds a whole nother degree of difficulty. If all we were gonna do was slap some portables in there, pull them up on a trailer, drop them off, and shoot, we could have had those back in December. But we made the decision to make it, knowing it would be more difficult, to go ahead and add the bathrooms into there too. So we're gonna get 4 bathrooms that are Title V compliant which I think is ultimately a good decision, still knowing that we were trying to get it in before the start of the school year. In order to get that in, we did a couple of things, and I believe we talked about this a little bit throughout the year. Maybe we should have done so more. But normally these things, there's a sequence to it. And as my dad used to say, nine women can't make a baby in a month, right? These things all have to go sort of in order. And we leaned into it as much as we possibly could. And I'll give you an example is we already went out, instead of doing a bid, we did a piggyback, which is faster, to get the AMS buildings. And we did that without even having the architect plans approved through DSA. So we tried to overlap these processes as much as we could. It just takes a long daggone time to get that. And then we had issues from DSA about the site survey. And when you add restrooms now, things like the slope for that sewer line become an issue. It doesn't matter if you're just having a classroom. You start adding plumbing, you start adding those other things, it gets to be expensive. We had issues with the sprinkler system and whether we're gonna add one or not and the cost. And remember then too, we're trying to decide, well, we're going to have a bond or we're not going to have a bond. And so obviously the bond did not pass, and that sort of caused us to recalibrate a little bit. We were still on track. We did things. Another example, we went ahead and ordered the furniture in advance because that takes a long time. So we did everything I think we possibly could. Looking back, I don't know what I would have done different to try to get them in August. The trouble that we had was that when we did the bid, and these bids are they're cumbersome. The law is very unclear. We spent rich Paul Gant's meter has been spinning like crazy as we try to get these things compliant with all the DIR and contracting laws and regulations. So we got the protest from that last bid, and we brought that to the board last time, and our choice was really one of two things. We could have pressed on, although that likely would have resulted in a what's called a writ, or ultimately a temporary restraining order, and that probably would have pushed us on, you know, 6 months or more. And so our recommendation to the board, and I still think it was the right one, was to put this back out for bid again. But even that has a required a statutory process in which you have to put it out for bid, you've got to advertise it twice, you have to let those periods elapse, you have to allow people to pre-qualify again. It has now generated even more questions, which are back just yesterday with Paul Gant again, to be sure those things are correct. So one of the things was we're going to have to make a couple of changes because the law is, again, unclear about subcontractors A and B. We have to do MEPs. I don't want to get all necessarily too far in the weeds with that, but it is, again, an unclear part of the law. We're going to clarify that. So what that does is going to add a couple days to when we can open the bid, because when we do it, we want to do it right. So it will be a June 4th opening now. And to the president's question, I think opening the day after could be problematic. Voting the day after, because there's some vetting that comes with these things. We have to then go back and be sure, are each one of these bids, are they, we call them responsive. And that's not a very quick process. That takes a little bit. So I might suggest that maybe, and we'll get a written recommendation to you, but I think it may be maybe a 2 or 3 day window from the time we get the bids to the time we would come back to you. And I just think haste is likely to put us back in the same spot. So as soon as we can get that, we're waiting. We've been communicating with AMS, who will come deliver it. This contract that we brought you that's out for bid now is for the site work. And just as quick as we possibly can, we'll get that thing put in. But it is not meant to be a year-long process. And when all is said and done, we're going to get it done in about a year. And that's actually, I know it doesn't feel like it, it's actually a success story that it's so quick. It just... I don't think it'll be before the start of the year, and that's an unfortunate reality. But I'm proud of my folks for the work they did to get it as quick as we did. So.
Comments or questions or?
Do we have a timeline yet established for when bids open, when they close, when we'll review those bids, when we'll be able to make a determination as to who the successful bidder is?
Yep, so the bids will be open. This is the bids for the site work. They will be open on June 4th, and I think probably a 48 or 72-hour window to go do to ensure that they are, that each bid was compliant. Remember we had that.
So, Mr. Hodson, the newspaper said the bid opening is on May 31.
It was. That was initially the schedule, and again, in our conversation with Mr. Gant yesterday, he suggested that he would like to go and make a clarification, and that clarification will generate a couple more days to make the statutory deadline. So it'll be June 4th would now be the date that we would open bids. Again, we could do it before, but we are going to run the risk of having someone protest the bid because there are statutory delays. In this case, it's 10 working days from any changes that you make. So if you add, we need to add those 10 working days. And if we don't, we are not in compliance with this very cumbersome public contract code. And it is a bear. And
we didn't know that when we posted it in the newspaper?
No, we've made a change to it. And so because you make a change, we're going to have to add some window into there. We initially did it as quick as we possibly could, which would have been May 1st. We had a couple days to go redo the docs, put them out, and that requires two separate advertisements in the paper. And the paper requires that to be turned into them by Thursday. So we turned them in as quick as we could. We had the two advertisements. Now it'll be, we're just gonna add a couple of working days onto there to get it to be June 4th.
So you're saying June 4 is the bid opening date?
June 4th should be our bid opening, and then I would recommend about 48 hours to go through and be sure that the bids that we get are responsive, right? This is you can't even send the documents in a single file. I mean, they're enormous, right? So you got to go through every one of those. Is everybody pre-qualified? Were all the MEP pre-quals, in accordance with the regulations? Did their bid meet every one of the specifications that were laid out in it? And there's a number of people that have to review that to be sure it's okay. And then we'd bring it to the board.
So that's a Tuesday, June 4th, and that's when we're going to open the bids, and then we could have a meeting on the Friday the 7th? Is that?
I would think that would be reasonable.
Well, we're going to have to work this into graduation schedules. I know we're all going to be busy that week, but we can't delay this. So we're going to look at.
We can also, and if you recall, when Travis gave his presentation back before the last one, we had suggested that we might bring this back as a ratification. That was part of our idea about how we were going to lean into this. But because we had so many conflicting bids and people who, it's a really gray area about whether you need your MEP contractors to be pre-qualified, because you don't always need them pre-qualified, but you need them to be pre-qualified if it's going to be over $1 million. And then there's a lot of question about, is that $1 million for that single contractor for the larger scope? And that's when we get in this really just mess of code. And so one of the things we could also do is we could go ahead and award and bring to the board a ratification for the same thing, would be another option. That was our intention before. We just didn't, because we knew we were in somewhat treacherous waters and didn't wish to put the board in that position.
I guess one of the things that's kind of concerning to me is we've, in the last 7 years or 10 years, we've built a whole bunch of buildings around here. And it seems to me, and unless I guess a lot of the laws have changed or some of that nature, why this one's being so much more difficult than and the building we built over here for math.
I'll tell you 100%, Mr. President, that is because we are pushing so daggone hard to get this thing in. You can't find a building, a portable or otherwise, that you've done in this district or any district in which I've been associated in less than a year. And by trying to push so hard to get it in, we're coming upon these deadlines. Again, this is at least a 18-month to 2-year process to do this, especially when, again, you try to add plumbing, because that whole sewer thing, that it becomes that much more difficult. We could have just stuck a building out there and had 4 more classrooms, and we didn't want to do that. And I kept telling my folks, I wish Travis was here tonight to tell you, if I said it once, I said it 400 daggone times, that having it ready the day after school starts is no better than having it ready in December. And I beat my folks up every day about being sure that we could get this as quick as we could. So we were tripping over ourselves. If we would have taken our time and slowly gone through this thing, we could have had it without any hiccups, although even then you're still going to have them. We still have them with our current projects. We're having challenges with the Ag Mech building. We're having challenges with the culinary building. We're able to clear those up before they come to the board because we have the luxury of time. We're not taking the luxury of time with this classroom.
They are the same bid docs that we have used in previous building projects. Unfortunately, they were done by a different law firm. They were challenged, and now we're back with Kingsley Bogard, who are reviewing them and making sure that they're up to date and that we're closing any of those problem areas, and so that's what's taking the additional time. We all want it open by the first day of school. Actually, we'd like it open, you know, first part of August, but it's going to be a tough road, and certainly we want to get it there. So please know that there's no hesitation on our part. It's just it's been difficult to make sure we've covered every single issue that's come up our way this time. We should have made it over $1 million, and it would have been a whole lot easier, so just saying.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hodson. Next, we have the superintendent approval of minutes. If there's no addition or deletions, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
7 yes. Motion carries. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that any board member would like to have pulled? If not, is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Davis to approve. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Motion carries. Moving on to new business, page 7. Board of Trustees. We have resolution 2018-19/27. Excuse board members' attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution to pay Randy Davis for a missed board meeting on 4/9/19. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Boom. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposed. Mr. Rasmussen. Any abstentions? One abstention by Mr. Davis. Five, motion carries, 5 yes. Next we have educational services. College and Career Access Pathways, CCAP, partnership agreement. A dual enrollment partnership agreement with Yuba Community College District. Do we have someone to speak on that?
Much as I would like for this to be Lenny, because it's under educational services, I will say that I'm the one that has been talking with Yuba College in trying to formalize the test that they have been running out at Lyndhurst High School. So we are going to do this over the course of a couple of meetings so that we do have an opportunity at the next meeting for public input before the board determines if you guys are wanting to move forward with some dual enrollment opportunities for our students, which would allow them to achieve high school units at exactly the same time that they are receiving college credits. Probably said that backwards. We have an agreement, like I said, put together with Yuba College. We did very intentionally just move forward with a one-year agreement so that this will be the first time that we will have an approved MOU, if that is what the board chooses to do. And we did want to do that just in a one-year agreement to be able to reevaluate and take a look at it at the end of the year. And I'm happy to address any questions or...
Jamie, in your opening remarks, you talked about the test at Lyndhurst High School. Can you tell us a little bit what's been happening at Lyndhurst High School?
I can. So Lyndhurst High School, when Yuba College, to be honest, we the Yuba Community College District is probably late to the game in terms of getting into formalized dual enrollment. And because Lyndhurst is the closest campus, high school campus to them, when they very first started, they reached out to Lyndhurst and said, can we move forward and try, you know, some dual enrollment courses? I think there's been a lot of success in a lot of different areas, and primarily those areas have been career tech ed, which is how I've gotten involved in this. But because it is a big bigger overall educational issue. It's something that the Department of Education is very much supporting, as is the legislature, who has created all of these laws to say, yes, you can form classes that both high school and that is awarding both high school and college credits. It's also an indicator that is tracked on the dashboard. It is one of those ways that kids have an additional opportunity to become prepared for graduation. So the community college district this year is saying, okay, we're ready to, you know, to move forward with dual enrollment and spread those opportunities to more high schools around their service area. So that's how I believe that we have orchestrated dual enrollment pilots in culinary arts. We have also done the same thing in welding. There's a engineering class.
Computer science.
Bob, could you maybe come up and tell us a little bit more about
you.
What you have
yes.
going at Lenners? Thank you so much. Sorry to put you on the spot, but we'll get Jamie off the spot.
No, we're all good here. When the partnership kind of developed in terms of this concept of dual enrollment, it started as a test pilot. They were looking to try and find a bridge to beef up their engineering department, to get students interested at the high school level that would then feed into their programs, and we would have this relationship. So it started with conversations of a semester of computer science, and I forget the number, computer science one and engineering one, both introductory courses. As we were having those discussions, an opportunity arose for an additional FTE through the LCAP funding for either electives or AP classes, of which we jumped on that from the culinary end. We had done surveys with the students. They wanted a cooking class. They wanted some type of cooking. So we figured the iron's hot. Let's smack the thing. And that was 4 years ago. So since then, we've developed a very strong pathway within culinary, offering four different college-level courses taught by an MJUSD instructor, ranging from beginning baking, advanced baking, beginning culinary to advanced culinary. It's an extremely solid program. The engineering and computer science is one semester. The spring semester, they have, and this is using Yuba College instructors, we do not have anyone on campus who is capable or qualified at the collegiate level to teach engineering or computer science. And in the spring, we have had anywhere from astronomy, trying to think some of the other ones, counseling 25. It's kind of been their kind of a fill-all. This spring, we don't have any Yuba College instructors at our campus. The classes could not fill. And we also launched the welding course with our ag instructor, doing arc welding and gas and arc. Sorry, it's been a long day.
Sorry, that's okay.
So we're good. So that's where we are, you know, at this point. It's been a very good relationship. You know, we've been working out the kinks along the way, from the standpoint of how much interest there is from a culinary piece. I've been here 14 years. Okay, we have filled about 105 kids within the culinary program. I have a waiting list of 160. They want it. And we now have industry partnerships that we're starting to flourish with, and it's. I think this is an absolute win-win. Getting Marysville High School, you know, to be able to be on board, I think it's just gonna only really enhance the opportunities for the kids in Yuba County.
Sorry. Bob, I thought I also heard you say, sorry, Mr. Allison, but if we have a qualified instructor that's on site, we utilize those instructors that we have.
Absolutely.
In order to teach our kids.
Yep.
And if we don't have a qualified instructor, then we have to look elsewhere.
Correct.
And again, it's important to note that they have to be qualified in the eyes of Yuba College. So they have to meet all of their requirements for being a Yuba College instructor. And if we have those, which we do, and we've even stolen culinary
yep.
teacher from Yuba College that is now a Marysville Joint Unified School District teacher.
Thank you. Mr. Allison?
Yeah, I have a real quick question. Can a student, if they're 16 years old, can they still take their high school classes and complete an AA through these programs if they take classes at Yuba College?
Can they work towards their AA? Yes.
They just work towards it, but they can't do enough to...
You know, to get a full AA...
Well, they still need all the other stuff. Yeah.
We're outside my wheelhouse a little bit, but they're still going to have to get their college-level English, their college-level history, you know, all those other
pieces.
But
they could take that at Yuba College if they're 16 or older.
Yes, they can.
So it's possible.
It is possible, yes.
So anytime one of the students completes one of these programs, they actually generate a college transcript, and the credits are also going on their high school transcript. So
yes.
And one of the nice things about it, it doesn't cost them money.
Correct. So. This is, you know, for the dual enrollment classes at the high school, it's free and appropriate education. We cover all the costs.
So then the total cost of all instructional materials are borne by the school district and not the college?
At this point, that is correct, and that's a conversation that we're also having with the Yuba College Community District to kind of a fair share concept.
Now, as far as matters of ADA and things like that, are they considered college students who are on campus, or how do you work that? What are the parameters for that? Okay.
Well,
sounds great.
I do thought we had a provision on some of the courses that if a college-level student come to participate in that level, they actually had to do some check-in or...
Yes. There is a vetting process where a background check is run, and that's part of the Yuba College entrance. They understand that, and they're okay with it.
The concern, I believe, with Yuba College when we first began this pilot was... would you be able to fill those classes? And so they're looking to make sure that if they're sending over the instructor, they have enough students to pay for that teacher's salary, if it's a college, Yuba College teacher. And so we've not had any issues with filling the classes at Lyndhurst High School. So it's really been a non-issue, with the exception of a few.
Yeah,
adults.
In the beginning, we had a couple of students and adult learners in the culinary. But the way the process works is we fill with high school students first, and so the classes fill up, and you know, if there's adult learners out there, they are taking the concurrent course at Yuba College.
Well, just simply that knowing how much the college books cost when my daughter attended Yuba College, I think it's great just on that level that some of the students that normally couldn't afford those books, and that can be quite costly, that we pick up.
Oh, yeah.
Very
nice. It's a really pretty
book.
Can't
miss. Yeah.
Any other comments? Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Next, we have number two, the K-5 History Social Science Adoption. We're going to open a public hearing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing for the approval of the grades K-5 History Social Science curriculum as recommended by the 2018-19 MJUSD K-5 History Social Science Curriculum Advisory Committee. Lenny.
Hello. So our team of History Social Science teachers worked together this year, started in the summer, and have piloted two different curriculum this year, and have chosen one, IMPACT. And so we're hoping that you are willing to accept the recommendation and approve this curriculum for their use next year.
Any comments?
I just have a question. Is this the curriculum that is so controversial in other parts of the state, the social science?
Social science itself is that way right now across the state, regardless of which curriculum is being chosen. So I think there's been some things on the news in regards to Roseville and Rockland. So yeah, so across the board, all of what the state required this year was recognition and information tied to LGBTQ. And I think that's what's caused a lot of the public concern.
Did you say impact? Is impact the same company that used to do the simulations?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with simulations. Is that a curriculum from before? The curriculum that our teachers did look at, the many different curricula that they did look at, is all state recommended. It's all gone through the state vetting system before they've taken a look at the curriculum that they looked at. So this is all state approved curriculum.
And I certainly would think, Lenny, through our your committee, and now that our PLC process is kind of moving along, that we've certainly looked at those standards that we need to teach in. And it looks as though the curriculum is being developed to help meet those standards, because it looks like the copyright is 2019 on this textbook, and so that's today. And
yeah, we are, and that's an interesting thing. When we do new adoptions, we're usually pretty quick to go and get our new books, because we've had a long time with the old history social science books. And so the way they work it is that if we're looking at the books that are actually available in 2018, all of those books are copyright for 2019. So when we look at science books this year or last year, they're always going to have a copyright the following year for that. Okay. I'm not sure why it works out that way. I haven't looked into that.
Yeah. Any other comments or question? Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Move to close the public hearing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Public hearing is closed. Now, is there a motion regarding the instructional materials?
Move to approve the instructional materials.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 7 yes. Number 3, the new board policy 0460, philosophy, goals, objectives, and comprehensive plans. We're going to hold a public hearing regarding the new board policy 4060. I don't think we want to read the whole thing. So public hearing is open.
Sorry. I'll give you a quick synopsis. It's basically describing the LCAP process. So it's a new board policy tied to the LCAP process that we go through. You're all pretty familiar with it.
Yes.
The LCAP process, that is.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments? Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion to close by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 7 yes. Motion carries. Now we need a motion for board policy 4060.
Motion to approve board policy 0460.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. 7 yes. Let's see. Oh. Personnel Services. 2018-19 initial bargaining proposal from MJUSD to OE3. We're going to hold a public hearing. Do we have anyone to speak to this? Is there any questions that any board members have regarding this item? Mr. Carrion, is this just a process that we need to go through? I notice it looks like we're doing this through many of the bargaining units. Can you give us a little update or?
Like others, I have my tambourine also.
Whoa.
The EERA requires that we sunshine, if you will, our initial proposal with the bargaining groups. It provides the public an opportunity to essentially weigh in on the agency's plan for negotiating that year or future years as it impacts budgets for the local LEA. So in this case, as with all other bargaining groups, we'd like to sunshine or post our initial proposal as we head into discussions at the table with each bargaining group.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions from the board, or I guess I should be asking the public also? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing? Motion to close the public hearing by Mr. Davis. I would try to remind the board members, if you would, make sure you turn your microphones on and speak into them when we're trying to address, that would be helpful. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Public hearing is closed. Number two, the 2018-19 initial bargaining proposals from the MJUSD to CSEA number 326. Looks as though this is the same type of item. We are now opening the public hearing. Any comments or discussion? Anything from the public? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Number three, 2018-19 initial bargaining proposal from MJUSD to CSEA number 648. We're opening the public hearing. Any comments or question? Anything from the public? If not, we'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close public hearing.
Motion by Mr. Boom to close. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Number four, reconsideration of a non-reelect employee. The purpose of the agenda item is to request, as requested by a board member, is to reconsider the non-reelection decision approved via resolution 2018-19/20. On 2-26-19. In the background, you'll notice that the employee is identified number 8876. Is there a motion?
Motion to deny the request.
There is a motion to deny the request. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say yes.
Yes.
All in favor, we have two, Mr. Boom and Mr. Crawford.
And Mr. Allison,
yes. All opposed. So we have Ms. Scott, Mr. Davis, Mr. Rasmussen, and Mr. Fleury. Motion carries 4-3. Wait.
No.
That doesn't quite work out right.
Motion doesn't carry.
It's denied. It's denied.
You got to read.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not. So is there. Are we going to look for another motion then, Mr. Boone?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with Dr. Starkey?
Are we clear?
I don't think
the motion was denied. So
okay.
It failed to be approved. So you would need?
You need a motion to rescind. There was absent a motion at the moment to take up a vote to rescind. So Mr. Boom suggested a motion to deny as a result of the silence. But the agenda item asks for consideration to rescind. So if a motion is to be made, it is for consideration to rescind the non-reelection.
So are we saying then the motion is not appropriate for that item?
It is appropriate. It's just that in the absence of a motion, at that time, Mr. Boom suggested the opposite.
Okay.
Through his motion.
And it did not pass.
That did not pass. So if there is no motion, on this item, it dies for the lack of a motion.
Okay. So I will make a motion to approve the reconsideration of the non-reelected employee, number 8876. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. We're going to do a roll call vote. Mr. Davis, and if you would, please turn your microphones on and speak into the microphones. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
That's a yes. Mr. Boom?
No.
No. Mr. Allison?
No.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
No.
And Rasmussen, yes. So the motion carries 4-3. Okay, personnel services continue. Thank you for your help there, Mr. Carrion.
You're welcome.
Mr. Carrion, number 5, was there something that you wanted to address?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to bring attention to, in the background, to clarify and correct an error out of the personnel department for which I am responsible, of course. The last sentence should reflect that if rescinded, the employee should be granted a second year of probationary status as the 2019-20 school year begins. The employee in question is currently a first-year probationary employee, and that error, that oversight, was not caught by the personnel department.
Okay, so with that clarification, is there a motion? So this particular one is to reconsider the non-reelected employee. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board member, by a board member, is to reconsider the non-reelection decision approved via resolution 2018-19/20 on 226-19. Employee number is 9248. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Again, we're going to do a roll call vote. Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Boom?
No.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Ms. Scott?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford?
No.
And Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 5-2. And then, let's see, Mr. Crawford, you have closing remarks?
Yes, I would like to adjourn this meeting tonight in memory of a longtime instructor, teacher at Lyndhurst High School, a football coach, a beloved member of the community, father of 5, Marino Rosalini. I'd like to adjourn in his memory. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crawford. Meeting adjourned.